closer.
What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to episode 127 of Pop Culture Connoisseurs. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for listening to us. You can find us, A Gal and a Gay Pop Culture Connoisseurs, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Podbean. In this episode, we're going to talk all about the new Hulu series, The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, so The Handmaid's Tale was actually a novel. Mm-hmm. Like many shows, all start usually from a novel. This one was written back in 1985 mm-hmm. by Margaret Atwood. She was a Canadian author. She's still around. Mm-hmm. This novel is set in the near future in New England in a
totalitarian.
I cannot say that.
Theocracy.
And basically, it's overthrown the U.S. government. And the novel explores a lot of different themes, and they all revolve around women.
Yes, especially given the group that overthrows the government is very staunchly religious and that sort of thing, and what that means for women in a world like that. It's very terrifying. Mm-hmm. The show stars Elizabeth Moss mm-hmm. as Offred, June. Also, it's her given name, but she goes by Offred in the series, and you'll understand why when you watch it. But it has a great cast. Yvonne Stravosky plays Serena Joy, who is a wife of the commander. Joseph Fiennes is the commander. Samira Wiley from Orange is the New Black. She's fantastic in this. She mm-hmm. plays Moira Alexis Bedell. She's also in this. She's from Gilmore Girls. She plays Offlin. And then Anne Dowd is Aunt Lydia. There's a lot of really great people in this show, and mm-hmm. they all really shine. So,
and it's one of the shows where there's a lot of flashbacks that mm-hmm. kind of fill in certain aspects of right. the show that maybe fill in the blanks of some things, because it basically starts right at the beginning of where yes. Offred starts her journey into getting captured mm-hmm. and being put in and becoming a handmaid mm-hmm. and you see a little bit of a glimpse of her husband mm-hmm. and her daughter and then it goes forward from there, but then it also starts to go backwards and you
yes.
Get to learn a little bit more about what life was
right.
especially for her and her family and some of her friends before what happens with the government.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so much more terrifying and you know, disturbing, is because this all really kind of happens in the span of 3 years or something like that. You know, to go from you have all these great freedoms and everything's fine and dandy, and then all of a sudden things are just slowly getting stripped away, and then you end up, you know, as a Handmaid's Tale, you know, being raped every month to, you know, birth a child to a couple who doesn't care about anything other than that. So it's just interesting. But I like the way they did it, because especially in the beginning, it's so confusing what's going on. And then through these flashbacks, you kind of learn what happened. And so I think it was a good way to do it, I think. So mm-hmm. it really helps you understand how the frame of mind June is in, or all the other women who are handmaids are going through. Kind of interesting.
I like how Hulu handled this, and the fact that there are 10 episodes for this first mm-hmm. season, and basically what they did was they released them every week.
Yeah.
So you couldn't binge it. I mean, you can
yeah,
now.
You can now.
Mm-hmm. But I would suggest not binging it. I think that
I disagree. I wish I could avenge it, because the story is so good and enthralling. Like, you want to know what happens next. At least for me, I wish I could avenge it. Just because it was, you know, each episode is so good, and having it end in a way that, you know, you want to know what happens next.
But it's so depressing that I think that you try
to binge yes.
this. And really, I understand about binging, but when you're trying to, if you are a show creator and mm-hmm. you're trying to build buzz, it's just like with Orange is the New Black, mm-hmm. people talk about it for 2 weeks
yeah.
and then they don't talk about it or House of Cards.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think because they're kind of giving them, I think they released the first two episodes and then they started going weekly after that. I think that's good because it builds. It makes you think a little bit more than, because you're not thinking if you're just binging. You're going to think about it for those couple days that you're binging. And then,
you know, and
this is an important story that I think everyone needs to pay attention to.
And there's a lot of, there's something we said, you know, every time you have to wait a little bit, you can discuss and, you know, think of theories and read stuff about what we think is going to happen. And that is a lot of fun. I mean, I do that with every show that is weekly and that I enjoy. And I do it with this show too. So yeah, I get you. I can see both sides of that argument.
So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first we have a couple of interviews that we want to play for you. The first one is an interview that Time Magazine did. Mm-hmm. And it had, basically we have Elizabeth Moss who plays Offred. She did a sit down conversation sort of interview with author Margaret Atwood, kind of about how scary it is that, you know, we want to say, oh, stuff like this could not happen. But actually, Margaret Atwood, a lot of the the events and things like that, she's actually pulled from cultures
from
where
history.
This has happened. So here, take a listen.
I'm curious what you think ultimately the book is about for you.
I think it's about a totalitarian society in America the way it would likely to be.
Mm-hmm. You told me that everything that happened in The Handmaid's Tale had happened.
Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somewhere at some time.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
I made nothing up.
Mm-hmm. And now in our time where our climate is sort of is what it is in America and in the world, do you still feel the same about that statement, or do you
even
feel
more
any
so.
Different? Even more so.
Even
yeah.
more so, absolutely.
Yeah.
So when I first published that book, at the outset some people were saying, oh, Margaret, how could you suggest, you know, how could you suggest that we would ever do such
ever,
a thing?
This would ever happen.
Yeah,
right?
So I don't hear that much anymore either.
Do you feel like there is one thing that the average woman or average person can do to sort of prevent
Gilead? Well, they might vote
Gilead.
Just to begin with.
That would help, wouldn't it? Voting helps.
Yeah.
Yes, voting does help.
Yes, it does. You're right. Mm. If we learned anything in the last election, yes, voting helps. Yeah.
It really makes it even more real, the fact that we can see that already.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's funny that, you know, they started filming this show 6 months before the election, and it was just so relevant, unfortunately. You know, and nobody's saying that we are going to go down this path, but there's a lot of little things that are happening, you know, they're scary, that, you know, could lead to that. You would hope in our society nothing like this would ever happen, but you know, it's already started with a little bit of just little things here and there that a lot of people don't think are a big deal.
Or little things that we've heard people say, and we're like, how is that, how can they get away with that?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
can they, you know?
Right, exactly, you know, and I think that's why this people identify or, you know, connect with this so much, is just because of those little things. And in the book and in the series, you know, they talk about that it all just started. It was all gradual. It wasn't like they woke up the next day and this all happened. It was all just little things. And eventually this crazy religious cult had taken over the United States. So, it's interesting.
Well, and it's also how climate change kind of also plays a factor into the story, because they finally believe climate change resulted in the fact that people became sterile. And so they're trying to, it's the powerful people, like you were mentioning, in those positions that we're like, nope, we're going to take the fertile people and we're going to use them to our advantage to, instead of make, and maybe, and that's not really explored much, maybe the government, maybe the world did try to figure out a way to find a cure or whatever.
Yeah, for the rampant infertility that is the pretty much the catalyst of all of this going on. You know, I always think, you know, if there was something like that in the world, that if for whatever reason we were more women and more men were becoming sterile or infertile, that we would find other ways to make more babies instead of enslaving all the fertile women and having them, you know, have sex with people every month. I think there's other ways you can do that. I would think, but
I would think so too.
You would think so.
But yeah. This all does make for great TV.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a very compelling story, just because it's so horrible, you know, and aside from the, you know, the systematic raping of the women, they're killing homosexuals because they are calling gender traitors. They kill everybody who is not useful to them. So they kill gay men and women just because, you know, they're gay and they don't agree with that. And, you know, and if these women step out of line, they kill them or they ship them off. I hope they explore the colonies, they call it in the show, more next season, because I want to know more about that. But they'll ship a lot of them off to the colonies, as they call them, which is apparently is a very desolate area. There's like nuclear waste or something. So it's not a good thing. But yeah, it's just, it's horrific. Horrific, everything in it. When you really sit down and think about it, you really hope that nothing like this would ever happen.
I will say, I did watch the first episode and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I have it in me to finish this series, even though it was so well done.
Yes.
Just because of it's depressing. But then this is no spoiler alert, but there's definitely a lot of, there are a lot of moments that there are very hopeful moments, and you get to see how they're slowly building the resistance from the inside. Of this new world instead of from the outside, because they're, you know, everyone's trying to get to Canada, they're trying to get to California, places like that, that's like the safe zones. But it's the resistance from the inside that will topple this society.
So, you know, there's people within the society who are, you know, going along with it, doing what they have to do to survive, but, you know, in the meantime are also working to bring it down, you know, and so I do like that a lot. You know, it's really... There's a scene too once where the president of Mexico comes to visit and like, you know, barter some trade, and it's really disheartening because Alfred gets a chance to tell somebody like, hey, this is what's happening to us, and they're like, sorry, we need children, and so you know, eventually, it's just kind of sad that there's other. You know, there's she has this moment to speak up and say, I need help. And then they're like, sorry, we're going to go with this. But in that scene, there's more hopeful stuff there, too. So anyway, it's just interesting, you know, like you see this society and this is happening in the U.S. and you think, God, there's got to be somebody outside the U.S. who is going to be coming and help them. And then you realize that they're in the, this group has all the power, even in the whole world. They have all the resources, they have the children, they have, you know, money, they have all this stuff. And so it's really scary, you know, that this one sect of people could essentially change the whole world. So crazy.
And also, I think when I first watched episode one, I'm like, oh, Alfred is just some weak person, a weak character. But then you come to find out, no, she's a very strong character, and she's been beaten down for so long. That's why probably her spirit was broken, and like she was a very strong woman before the fall of this society, and she did try and stand up. They did try and stand up, and then eventually with her capture, she knew she was going to die if she did try to really fight back the way she wanted to. So, and it's a story about how she's kind of helping sweep in the resistance. And I will say, I mean, Elizabeth Moss is fantastic.
She's fantastic.
But also I think one of the other really big standouts is the actress from Gilmore Girls.
Alexis Bledel. She plays Ofglen. Who is another handmaid, and she kind of starts, she's also kind of working with the resistance, and her and Offred start to chat about things.
And that chatting basically turns into a friendship, and they rely a lot on each other, and it's a special relationship because they learn to trust each other, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where the series starts to get into how the resistance is fighting back against this new society.
Exactly. You know, and I really like Alexis Bledel, and she's been upgraded to a series regular for season two, so it'll be mm-hmm. great to see her. And see what happens with Off-Glen.
And a lot of it has, you know, to do with basically, I guess you could say, girl power. Mm-hmm. PBS NewsHour did an interview with Bruce Miller, who is a showrunner and screenwriter, and also Warren Littlefield, who is the executive producer. They mentioned that 4 out of 5 of the directors for these episodes were women, and they also had quite a few women writers.
You recognize this world. It's a beautiful world. They want it to be cleaner. They want the food to be healthier. They're trying to raise fertility rates. Those are all good things. That's very inviting. So we come into our world and it feels pretty good until you look closely.
Dystopia in our time has kind of been synonymous with rubble and dust and robots and scrounging around for food. This is just a different kind of dystopia. Doesn't have dirty in it. It's just a terrible reality.
I asked Miller and Littlefield about working on this series where so much is about what happens to women.
You know, I tried my best, you know, along the way to shore up that part of my personality that I couldn't change, that part of who I am that I couldn't change, by hiring, you know, as many people who were kind of spectacular women's voices, either with Reed Morano, our director, or, you know, Lizzie Moss, of course, our star, but also, you know, our writing staff is predominantly women. I think we had all female directors except for
4 out of 5 of our directors for the 10 hours are women. And many of our department heads, wardrobe and production designer, we really built a very strong core of women who brought this show to life because for that very reason, we're not.
All right, so lessons I think we all can learn about, again, like, you know, she mentioned not taking things mm-hmm. for granted. And I know when we went to the Equality March mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, someone had asked her, like, well, you guys now have the right to marry, this and that. What are you continuing to fight for? And actually, I'd heard that about the Women's March, too. Uh-huh. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is, guess what? We're still here. Mm-hmm. We're still paying attention. Mm-hmm. And we got our eye on you. We are going to vote you out. And
right.
And people, that's the thing that just gets me, is that voting is so powerful. And that's why so many of these lawmakers are trying to do their damnedest to get ways for we can't vote or mm-hmm. put us in a district mm-hmm. where our vote's not going to count. And mm-hmm. we've already seen that happen. I don't want to get too political, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's happening. It's happening in maybe different ways than the show is, but the show is a great reminder that there are a lot of parallels to what's happening today.
You know, it's fun. In that interview with Bruce Miller and Warren Littlefield, they talk about this dystopian life that they've created or in the show, and they say it's not their typical dystopian, you know. You said something like, the word dystopian doesn't have the word dirty in it. So, because when we think about dystopian societies, we think of the Hunger Games or, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that, you know, it's very bleak, very, you know, dirty, very gross. But this is not. This is especially in the series, you can see it. Gilead is this thriving place. They have jobs, they have food, they have solar energy, they have all this great stuff. It's a very modern society with really unmodern ideals. But it's just interesting, you know, that when you think of dystopian, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be desolate and mm-hmm. destroyed. You know, that's not what it means. So, mm-hmm. Just an interesting take on that.
Yeah. So they're already working on season 2.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned that Alexis
Bledel is now a series regular, which is great.
So she's been bumped up. Mm-hmm. Again, we didn't want to give too many spoilers away for people who maybe have not finished the series. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. So there's not another novel.
No.
So they're actually working with Margaret Atwood to see where we're going. And I guess there were quite a few things that were left out of the novel, like mm-hmm. Offred's mother. Mm-hmm. I guess she was part of the novel. And there's talk that she will play some kind of role, and I believe it's a role in flashbacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In season two. Yeah. So it kind of seems like that's kind of where they were I think they're at a great, where they left off, it's a great spot to begin the next season.
So what I've heard from the book is, like, I guess there's a time jump at the end, and it's kind of Alfred or June kind of telling her story of what happened, like, way back when. So it'll be interesting to see that gap of, because eventually I think they do get, they get overrun, everything goes back to normal. So it'll be interesting to see that play out. And I'm sure that's what we're heading in the series. So, yeah.
All right, so The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. You can catch it on Hulu. You can binge it, but I would say get a little bit of a break. Maybe watch a couple episodes, take a break.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, I believe, well worth your time.
Definitely. So. Give it a chance. It's really good.
Yeah. So. All right, guys. You can, again, always find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Yes, and you can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram at agallonagay, or email us agallonagay@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your theories or your thoughts about The Handmaid's Tale or any TV show or movie you want to talk about. We love hearing that kind of stuff, so please reach out to us.
Yep, and in our next episode, we are going to talk about some of the biggest summer blockbusters of the last 40 years and our favorites.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, that'll be a fun one. So until next time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.